The words of Jesus from Matthew 17, the gospel lesson for this morning. Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. One late stormy night, a small voice was heard from the bedroom across the hall. "Mommy, I'm scared." Mom responds with sympathy, "Honey, don't be afraid. I'm right across the hall." After a short time, more thunder, more lightning, little voice again, "I'm still scared." And Mom, theologian that she was, responds, "You don't need to be afraid. Close your eyes and pray. Remember that Jesus is always with you." The pause is now a little bit longer, but there's more thunder, more lightning, and the voice returns, but also a body standing right next to Mom's head. "Mommy, can I get in bed with you and Daddy?" Mom's just about ready to lose her patience, and she looks at her little boy and she sees his eyes, and he says to her, "Mommy, I know Jesus is always with me, but right now I need Jesus with skin on." That's a really interesting concept, Jesus with skin on, isn't it? Peter, James, and John, they were getting used to Jesus with skin on. They'd been with him for almost 3 years. Jesus in the flesh, walking with Jesus, listening to him teach, listening to him preach. The kingdom of God is here. Seeing his tremendous compassion, his expression of love and healing. And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't. Jesus, Messiah, Savior, and Redeemer. If you look at chapter 16, right before the gospel lesson, there's an encounter where Jesus, with his disciples, explains to them very clearly that he has to go to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer, he's going to die, he's going to resurrect. And Peter just interrupts and he says, "We're never going to let that happen to you, Jesus." You know, they just don't understand that this is all part of God's plan. This is the way God is working out redemption for his world. It will be through suffering and sacrifice. It will be through the death of Jesus. But here on the mountain, Jesus, in his infinite wisdom and his compassion for his guys, takes them away in retreat. And suddenly he is transfigured, and his face shines like sun. His clothes are white as light. Here's Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. All of this with the intention of helping them to see this Jesus with flesh on will give his flesh for the world, but that there is more to come. Glory is to come. The end of all that's about to transpire will end in glory, even though it seems like it won't. The humble Jesus will endure the depths of his humiliation in the very near future. And here is Jesus helping his guys see what is real, carrying out his mission for the redemption of the world. Hearing the voice from heaven, "This is my son, listen to him." And in their terror to see Jesus in the flesh and be reassured that they don't have to fear. As they descend the mountain, they hear a word of unusual instruction that I just reread to you. Don't tell anybody. You would think that coming down from that experience that they're ready to tell everybody. But he says, don't. People are already confused. There are many already set on making this one who heals and feeds thousands be the king of Israel. And it's not glory yet. It's about to be suffering. Don't tell of the glory, because before the glory comes death. It's the Father's plan. And we're on the edge of this thing that we call Lent. Ash Wednesday begins the season, and we make that walk again and again and again, year after year, walking with Jesus, the way of the cross, ultimately experiencing again the time of his death and looking forward ultimately to the celebration of his resurrection. Jesus in the flesh as my Savior and my Lord and my Redeemer. Don't talk about the glory. The flesh comes first. The death comes first, then the glory. But for people like us who walk again through the season of Lent and celebrate again the resurrection, I want to tell you that those are three words, don't tell anyone, that don't apply to us. We rehearse this season of Lent again. However, we are the people of God in Christ Jesus who know his glory, who have experienced the wonder of his grace and mercy in the forgiveness of our sin, who daily have the assurance that one day we will spend all eternity with him. And now as we wait for the final fulfillment of all of this, God invites us, in a sense, to be Jesus with skin on in the world that we live. If you go back to earlier chapters in Matthew that have been the gospel readings during this Epiphany season, he says to you, be salt. Be light. Be Jesus with skin on. And that's kind of an overwhelming thing. It's a huge world. Where do we turn? Everywhere we turn, there's need. And I can't fix the whole world, and neither can you. But I can be Jesus with skin on. It happens in the ordinary of life, in marriage, in family, in your work environment, in our physical neighborhood, in our recreational endeavors. But being Jesus with skin on could also stretch us. In those areas, it might stretch us, but it might stretch us even further. As Kathy and I began to plan for our retirement and kind of closing one chapter of ministry and looking, Lord, where will the next chapter be? We began to explore a variety of things and started to look years before retirement at some short-term mission opportunities. Kathy took a team of people into northern Canada through the Lutheran Association of Missionary Pilots, and they ministered to an Indian village. She was involved in a ministry in Poland and short term, and headed a team there that did a vacation Bible school in English. And together we were looking at things that we might find the Lord leading us to do. And we started asking questions, you know, where might we serve this one who has loved and redeemed us? And we explored some medical missions that we were a part of twice in Honduras through an LCMS church out of Texas. And kind of discovered that when you're not a medical person, medical missions don't always turn out to be the best opportunities. We didn't have enough contact with people, and so we started to look a little further. And actually, at dinner one night, our first trip to Honduras, and you can put that first slide up, please. We're sitting there and having conversation. Half of our medical team was Honduran and half was American, and wondering what opportunities were going to take place in that week. And I'm chatting with this young lady across from me, and her Spanish was very fluent, and her English was impeccable. Jet black hair, dark complexion, very pregnant. We hadn't met her husband yet. Heard he was a dentist, hadn't met him. And I complimented her on her English, and she started to laugh at me. And she said, "You think I'm Honduran. I'm from Orlando. I live here. I married a Honduran dentist." But her parents had started a mission for children, for young women who had been sexually abused and had children. They started with a couple of young women that lived with Lauren in her home, and it started growing and growing and multiplying, and it became organized. Two lay people, Barry and Penny Compton, he's a developer. They had been entrepreneurs, started various businesses, but now on the side, besides carrying on his regular work, they were pouring heart and soul into open door ministry in a little town called Tocoa. Honduras, 8.25 million people, second worst economy in the Central America. And if you see over on the right side, the large word Colón, that's a state, and there's a little town that you could barely read on the map called Tocoa, and that's where they are. The wiggly red line is the national highway, and that's about the only, that's the best road, and it's not very good in the whole country. So we decided that we would check out, and we would go down and visit Open Door and just see what kind of ministry was going on. And when you get there, you fall in love and you keep going back. I'd like to just tell you a little bit and show you a few pictures of the work that they are doing, and challenge you to pray for them and pray for the short-term mission people that go down, and maybe even consider an opportunity for yourself to reach out and stretch to be Jesus with skin on in a cross-cultural setting that requires a little bit of risk. Next picture, please. That was our last year's mission team. Nine people from the Belleville area teamed up with some folks from Ohio, some folks from Arizona, and some from Texas. And we met in Houston, and we flew together to Tocoa, Honduras. When you get involved with Open Door, next, please, you realize that they have a whole series of ministries going on. Gates of Hope is the compound where they take care of these young women, and I mean young women. These women, some of them are 11 and 12, and they have children. It's kind of crazy sometimes when you're on the campus and you see mothers and their children interacting, and they're interacting like brothers and sisters, not mothers and children. But sexual abuse is a great tragedy in Honduras. Village of Hope is the orphanage. What started out with just these young women now is 60 children, and it could be 120 if they had space and funding. They're not just concerned about their own ministry, they're involved in the community, and so they connect with the community hospital, and I'll show you that. They're also feeding neighborhood children, and they operate two feeding stations because the average income in Honduras is about $4,000 to $5,000 a year. A laborer makes about $7 a day. If you're a skilled laborer, say a welder, with your own welding equipment, you might make $25 a day. Next slide, please. Oh, there is also prison ministry that they're involved with. I'm going to show you Gates of Hope, or Village of Hope, which is the orphanage. When you pull up, you see this walled compound, and you see this gate. During the day, the gate's not locked, but it's closed. And they honk the horn, and a little guy runs out, and it's whoever's nearby opens up the gates, kind of a big deal for some of the boys, and you drive in. You're on a driveway of about 50 yards. Eventually, that's kind of Main Street in the village, but right now, it's just this one little paved road. Next slide, please. When you go in the gate, to the right, you'll see this house, and there are children there. I believe these are little boys, and they live with a tia, which is their house mother, and you look to the left, and you see the next slide, that house, more children there, and you walk up another 25 feet or so, and next slide, and you see this house, which is two-story, little girls in here, and again with their tia, and you walk a little further, and you see this one that's under construction, and we worked during the week mainly in this house. Next slide, please. The work that we did, the physical work, which is not all that we do, was to do a lot of painting and work on the new house. Next, please. Wendy Sanchez, one of our Zion ladies that had a paintbrush in her hand off and on for the week. Next. We set up bunk beds, and they use other social services that can purchase things for them. $500, they got a ton of bunk beds, and they were all in pieces, wood headboards and footboards and metal frames. What we very quickly discovered was that the metal frames didn't fit any of the headboards and footboards, but that's okay. We just started grinding and working, and all of a sudden we had bunk beds for that house set up. This didn't take place this year. I just threw this in to show you something that we did the year before. That's Mo, Larry, and Curly. And the Hondurans had built this water tower for us, and we were to get the tank up and get it plumbed. The electricity goes out, and their well runs on an electric pump. So for hours a day, they can't shower, they can't flush toilets, they can't get water to cook with. So this gravity feed water system was to be set up. This was our failure day. We discovered you can't push one of those or pole. We had a winch set up on top that we built. You can't pull it up a ladder. It gets caught. So after a night of sleep, we realized, next slide, that if we just got some 22-foot 4x4s and leaned them up and attached them to each other, we could slide it up without any difficulty at all. But our primary reason is to not just build stuff, and we are not interested in taking jobs from Hondurans. We're doing things that the Hondurans don't like to do or don't want to do or don't do very well. But the goal is to spend time with the kids. And on Sunday morning, we had glorious opportunity to worship together. This is Roberto. Roberto is kind of a full-time administrator there, and he leads worship, plays a great keyboard, and one of our young men was on drums, and somebody else was playing guitar, and the kids just rock. I mean, the ceiling vibrates in the chapel when you've got these 60 kids and some of the adults that were there. It was just a really wonderful thing. Our theme for the week spiritually was Jesus is my superhero. And so they, in the previous picture, they know that song, and probably your kids at some point sang it in Vacation Bible School, and the kids are just rocking, doing the finger motions, and they know the whole nine yards. I was privileged to share the word, and the gentleman with me was a Zion member, Randy Geiser, who speaks fluent Spanish, and so I had an interpreter. If you think this is long, when you double it, once in English, once in Spanish, it's really long. Next slide, please. Time with kids, and touching, hugging, playing games, whatever. Next. Crafts and a whole program on Jesus is my superhero. And this Pastor Downs from the senior pastor at Zion, he's all engaged trying to get his little frumpy guy that's going to go like this with brass fasteners cut out of the paper and help the kids at the same time. Next, kids coloring. The young guy with the ball cap on the left, it was really amazing. He had been one of my field workers about 15 years ago, and we reconnected through Open Door. Next. Kathy hand-carried a box of Fruit Loops, and I knew they were not for us to eat. Kathy's the most healthy person in the whole world, and I don't like Fruit Loops, so I knew they weren't for us, and she didn't put them in the suitcase. We had to hand-carry them. So they still were little O's and not sawdust when we got down there. You give a little kid some yarn and some Fruit Loops, and what do they make? Bracelets and necklaces. And they loved every minute of it. Next. Interaction with kids. This is Junior and Trevor Sanchez, a student from Belleville East. And Trevor was our high-energy guy, and it was very sports-minded, and you'd hear these little guys yelling out, "Hey, Sanchez, let's play!" And Trevor always had time and energy. Next, please. Again, gather the kids, got a guitar and a couple of people that could sing, and there are kids interested. Next. This is a family. 60 kids, but it's a family. One little boy did a couple of weeks of classes at the public school, and he was kind of bullied and kind of chastised for living in an orphanage and not having a family. And Barry said to him, "You know, you tell those kids that you have a family. You have 60 brothers and sisters, and they mark every birthday." This was October, and it was October birthday night, and every kid got their own cake. Next, please. Our ladies took, we took tons of clothes with us, extra clothes. When you go, all you need are shorts and t-shirts, but we had suitcases filled with clothes, and they set up the opportunity for the girls to come in and choose several dresses of their choice. When you live in that environment, that's not really an opportunity for you. Next. It was rainy season. We had promised the kids that we would take them to the swimming pool at our hotel. Something broke down with communication and our transportation wasn't there, but it rained and everything floods. The kids had their suits on, so why not? Next slide. That's Daisy. And up to her shoulders in mud and water and enjoying every second. Next, please. The local hospital, not a hospital like anything we're used to. When you go into that hospital, there's, next, please, there's a bed, but no sheets, no pillows, no towels, no blankets. Next. And our group went in. They prayed with every mother in the maternity ward, every family in the pediatrics. Next. And gave them a kit with onesies, diapers, pins, a gown for the mother, a blanket. And it was just a wonderful experience. Next, please. Feeding station. We're going to go through these just quickly. Just keep changing. These are the faces of the children. They come running when the vans pulled into this feeding station. The kids come running with their bowls because they know it's the only meal they're going to get that week, perhaps. And the opportunity there in the feeding stations to share the gospel. Real high tech. That's a flannel board in case you have forgotten. And they told the story of Jesus' death and his resurrection. Next, please. The feeding station that they operate 5 days a week has its own building and a location. And that's this setting. Again, these kids come every day. It will be their only hot meal. And those are the eyes that you see when you're there. Next. The opportunity to do a vacation Bible school one afternoon with the kids that were at the feeding station. Next. Randy had a wonderful opportunity with his fluent Spanish to directly address the kids. Next. This is Noé. And Noé was a young man that I had an interaction with. It seems like I lost some money one day. I didn't even realize I had lost the money until it was found. But it was 170 limps, which is about $7. And Noé found it. Noé could have kept that. But he chose, as a Christian young man, not to hold it for himself, but to share it, to give it to his tia, who gave it to our translator, who in turn found me. Their goal is to raise up young people who know Jesus and who become Jesus with skin on. You got open paint trays around little boys. You can't see it in the picture. He painted all of his toes, not his nails, all of his toes and both hands. These are the faces of the children that we are privileged to care for and to minister to. Next, please. The little guy on the left, he's a fast driver. He's a real charger. That's Santos, and he's a cutie. More faces. Next, please. In Honduras, to go to public school, you have to have a uniform. If you don't have a uniform, you can't go. White shirt, blue pants. The children wear that same uniform in the compound, and it's really cute in the morning. You see the little guys coming out of their houses in their uniforms, walking 50 feet from their house to the chapel multi-purpose building, and with their backpacks on, going to school. And now children are going far beyond the sixth grade, which is normal for Honduras. They're going beyond, and this year they had a couple of young ladies graduate from high school, and one of them is preparing to go on to college. That will be their first. This is really our last slide, and this is Carrie Rensing from Zion. She's holding Daisy and Daisy's oldest sister. they are two of five siblings who were found several years ago by the authorities eating dirt. They were to the point where two of them were so ill they couldn't walk. And the police found them, took them to a physician, and in turn then came to Open Door. The physician said, "Barry, don't take these children. They're all going to die, and they're going to die on your watch. And people will blame you." That's how it goes in Honduras. Barry took them, took all five of them. The story is just beyond your imagination, the problems that they had to deal with physically. These kids are now, two of them have ongoing health issues, but they're thriving because they're loved, they're cared for. They have the presence of Christ. They have people who are Jesus with skin on. And all because they were willing, Barry was willing to take that risk. They couldn't turn them away. That compound is filled with kids with very similar stories. Next slide, last slide. We're going again in September. Kathy and I are planning to be there for 2 weeks, and we have two different teams that are going. A few of us will be there 2 weeks, 1 week for most. I'm going to just ask you to pray for our team and pray for the people that are coming from other parts of the country to be Jesus with skin on. I'm going to ask you to just pray that this team looks like we're pretty well filled up for next fall, but we'll go again. And when the opportunity is there, or with some other kind of short-term mission, to just step out, take the risk, and go. Last, I would like to just lay before you that there is about a $40,000 a month need for operation costs. The Comptons and their daughter Lauren receive no compensation. They are not salaried. They take nothing out. They put everything they've got in. The Honduran folks are the paid staff. But Honduran cost of living is really quite high. You would think that it would not be, but it is. $40,000 a month. If you would feel moved to think about a gift toward that ministry, the website on the back is the same on the screen, and they would just appreciate any gift that they would receive. Their goal is to break the cycle of poverty sexual abuse, and it's running upstream against the culture of Honduras, but that's their dream. And they will do it as by being Jesus with skin on. Thank you for your attention, and I'm long again.